ever to start actually going live. You see, it's 30 seconds. Like, that's bull. Hey, how's it going? Welcome welcome back to the Across the Cowboys podcast. As you can see, our main man, Paul, is not here. But guess what? You got me again. So, you know, I think Paul's up here and I'm down here. But, you know, we got something. So I feel like that's good. Show can start off without introducing the best co-host in the world, Mike the Pig Crumb. Mike, how are you?
Doing good, man. We're in rotation. We get me 1 week and Paul 1 week and you 1 week. And one day we'll get us all together. But the main man, we got Mr. Mendoza here. That's what I'm going to go. Mr. Mendoza here. So we're good.
We're serious here in this business. Where can we find you on X, Mike?
At CD Piglet, guys. Nice and easy.
You can find me at Brennan_Smith26, you know, captain of the Fergie hype train here. But Mike's right. We talk about all this. Well, we're here for the draft. It's next week, man. We gotta get all pumped for that stuff. But we can't talk about our guest, the Budge, man. I was trying to actually read for once and see this what happens.
Nope, can't read.
Yeah. Our guest tonight is a content creator and a player evaluator for the Pick Six sports team, Cowboys and Florida State Seminole fan. Please welcome Elazar Mendoza to the show. Elazar, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm good. How are you guys tonight?
Pumped you're here.
Doing awesome. Good, man. Ready to talk some mock draft. I've gotten a heads up on yours, and I'm pretty excited to talk about it. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, that was like that one that I did was it's like kind of like fell that way. I don't know how some of those players were ones I really loved that I got, but I wish. I don't know.
We'll discuss it. We'll discuss it soon enough. Believe me, we'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, y'all are just gonna school me on y'all's knowledge, and I'm just gonna be like, "Huh, that's great." Well, I feel like we should go ahead and start this off. Elzar, how long have you been a Cowboy fan?
I've been a Cowboys fan my whole life. My brother, who sadly he passed away back when I was 11. That was like 2001. He was the Cowboys fan. He was like four years older than me. And I remember growing up, he had all the gear, you know, the old starters, 90s jackets back in the day. He had those and the plaques on the wall of Emmett, Troy, Dion. But I've pretty much picked up practically about 5 or so years after he had passed or so was when I really got into the Cowboys. And ever since then, every game I usually don't miss.
We appreciate you picking up his mantle. He was able to see the triplets in the 90s?
Yeah, he was 4 years old. He was born in 86, so he was about, like, what was that, maybe 7, 8. So he was definitely, you know, he was old enough to remember what was going on.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's nice to have him at least get the – it's hard, man, when you've been a Cowboys fan and you didn't get any of that. That's tough. Mr. Top Corner here.
Are you targeting me?
What inspired you to start creating content?
What inspired me to start doing that? I don't know that I would call myself a content creator, first off. But what started was really just the Florida State, to be honest. Like, I love Florida State, and I love watching those players come out and see what they go on to do. And unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys never select any Seminoles, so that doesn't really help me. But when Ramsey was coming out was when I was really getting into like mock drafts and team building. I wanted him over Ezekiel Elliott that year. And
so did I. I think we all did.
When we didn't pick him, I said, okay. And I was like, let me see if we can find some other – what other corners do I like later on? And that's when I started thinking about, okay, let's do mock drafts beyond just the first round because those are the most players that most people know, you know, the top guys. It's like, let me do some more in-depth analysis or research as much as I can and see what other players I can get later on and stuff like that. And that's when I started doing 3 rounds, 4 rounds, and, you know, full 7-round mocks. I haven't done that many this year. Been pretty hectic, but Yeah.
I have a question. It's Florida State regarding, man. How infuriated were you that they left y'all out of that friggin' champion, the playoffs this year?
I was pretty like, it was, I was mad, but it was like a mad where I was quiet about it. Like, I didn't really have anything to say. I was just like, I was speechless. Like, I couldn't believe it. I got like several messages from like friends. I think Matt Owen even messaged me too and said that like, yeah, we didn't make it. And I remember just looking at my phone, like, that's a lie. And then I go on and I see it all over Twitter too. Like, yeah, we didn't make it. And that was just, I was pretty pissed, to say the least.
Yeah, my buddy.
I fully believe we would have played Alabama, maybe, not Michigan. I fully believe we would have beat them. That's just me. Maybe I'm being biased.
With your guys' defense was so good, you'd have had a chance in any of the ones you played. If your guys started and you guys were playing, you'd have had a chance in any game because your defense was elite. That's a bummer we didn't get the chance to see that. But sorry, go ahead, Brendan. I wanted to bring up painful memories.
Mike's specialty. Well, actually, I'm not going to change his question up a bit. Are you more of a college football fan or an NFL fan?
I'd say it's about even for both. I'm there for the Cowboys, and I'm there for the Seminoles every Saturday, every Sunday, whether they're playing on Friday, the Seminoles, that is. I'm there, you know. Same thing for the Cowboys. I'm there. I'd say both.
Nope. We're not allowing it. You get next year. One team could win. You either got Cowboys win the Super Bowl or Florida State wins the national championship, and you could pick one, and the other one is not winning, guaranteed. Who are you picking? You want a Florida State win or you want a Cowboys Super Bowl?
Oh, darn, dude.
Well, truthfully, that's not that hard, given that I had 2013. So I will take that Cowboys Super Bowl and ride that into the sunset.
So 49.8% Florida and 50.2% Dallas, just slightly. Okay. See, we got an answer.
All right.
And I know you talked about how you started looking up players after the Jalen Ramsey draft. Is that trying to think how to frame it? Like, did you just go from there? Like, okay, I'm looking up corners, but and it expanded to everything else for your college valuation after you started. Did you just go, okay, you know what? I did it with corners. I'm going to do it with everything else.
Yeah, I would. I was doing it with everything. I remember, like, kind of somewhat scratching the surface too when Todd Gurley was coming out. I remember trying to mock Todd Gurley to the Cowboys. I was like, let me see, because I was looking at running backs. We needed a running back then. I was like, okay, what running backs are there? And being on Twitter and in the Facebook, I would always, there was a Facebook, the War Room. I was being on there. I would constantly see people just talking about these players and stuff like that. You should check out this player, you should check out this player. So I basically, after that, I was like following anybody and everybody that I could see that was doing this type of content and listening to and anything they had to say about any player they found or were looking at. And I would write them down and I would, note them so I can look myself. And I would do that with everybody. And that's pretty much how I would do that with, I would usually try to find, I love finding sleepers because everybody knows top guys, your Brock Bowers, your Marvin Harrisons of the world. Everybody knows those guys. I love finding the gems, those guys that are like your role players. I love finding those guys.
Love it.
Well, speaking of the big time players, who is the best prospect you've studied in this draft class?
I listened to you guys last week talk about this with Dom going with Brock Bowers, which is that's not wrong per se, but my lean is towards Joe Ault. See, what I had written down and everything was I had Joe Ault, and what is he? He's 6'8" here. He's 321 pounds, 3-year starter, 33 straight starts. He's a former tight end, and he lettered in basketball. this guy's an athlete. So I don't know. Like he has excellent vision. He disciplined eyes. He has instincts. I just feel like what he brings to the table is that's a cornerstone left tackle right there. That's you get him and you solidified your left side for like the next 10 years. If there was any sort of miracle or dream scenario, someone the Cowboys could come up with getting him on this squad, I'll take that dream out all day. But highly unlikely.
Alt's my second overall player behind Marvin Harrison. That's a good choice. Yeah. That guy is he's really a beast.
He's only been penalized 4 times in the 3 years. He's a pretty sound player in my opinion. I don't believe there's much wrong in him.
Yeah, it's hard to find a fault in him. If we flipped it around, which player is being overrated in your eyes?
First, I want to preference this by saying, if you know me on my back channels, you know that I'm not big on negativity. I love building up these players. They're just kids. I don't love tearing them down or being anything like that. However, and this one especially, because something already negative happened, and I hope that it doesn't hurt him too much. But I have to go with Devondre Sweat. I know that before his incident, that I remember seeing him even in at 24 in some mocks or stuff like that. I was like, I just didn't see it. I don't know. I don't want to say he's overrated. But what I had was the Mazi Smith thing. I think that still kind of stings in my craw. Just like another defensive tackle, one that I'm not particularly high on. And I wasn't particularly even high on Mazi Smith. I don't know. He has the immaturity issues. Apparently, he likes to party, this and that. I don't know what that spotlight or what it is to be a Dallas Cowboy is enough for him to have on his shoulders. And
yeah, it terrifies me. I agree. Yeah, and I'd love to get a guy like that to fall to the fifth round. He's stealing, but I feel like Dallas might be the worst place for him going from Texas where he was like that and staying in Texas, going to like a bigger name, where he can be a brand person and live off of I'm a Dallas Cowboy. That's scary. I can't deny that. That's scary.
Yeah. I mean, to say some positives about him here, I mean, he won the Outland Trophy for them, I believe, and that was the first one since 1977, But, he's a good pass. He gets his hands up. He gets his hands up really well, and he gets a lot of passes defensive. And I noticed that with him. And, that's some good. There is some positives there. There's definitely positive. He has positives. I just don't know. And when I just don't know, I gotta set you aside just because that uncertainty.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Well, now we'd go back to being positive. Which player is being slept on the most?
I have several people that I feel are being slept on the most. One I wrote down here that I've been talking about, that I've mentioned in one of my back channels, is Evan Williams, Oregon defensive back. What I have here is he's 5'11", 206, 22 years old. He's a former 3-star recruit. He was 4 years at Fresno State, and then he transferred to Oregon. He did really good at the Senior Bowl. And he led Oregon in tackles in 23. He was a first team all Midwestern Conference in 21 for Fresno State. He led the team in interceptions and tackles that year for them. I believe he's a physical player. You watch him and he's covering tight ends. He's covering out to the flat. He's getting downhill. He's, recognizing routes. I feel like he had good instincts and awareness with, the route recognition. And he has special team experience. That's one thing I've noted too. I got that from watching Bluff City Cowboys over there. He really got me on the special teams and O-line. Him and Dom, they got me all over those things. But he's a Evan is, he has the special team experience. Is he's blocked an extra point. He's blocked a punt. And he's got some blitz ability as well. I believe that he could be used as a blitzer as well as, you know, that coverage guy on your flats and your under routes and stuff like that.
Don't try to butter me up, yeah. Man. I know what you're doing here. Fresno State yeah. guy. I'm from Fresno. Yeah. I like him.
I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Speaking of that, well, there's a guy that I thought would be coming out this year but that didn't was Cam Lockridge. He's a cornerback that I like that's at Fresno State right now. I like him. He'll be coming out next year most likely. Yeah, so keep an eye on that.
We develop corners really well. They don't go early because of the school, but when you play at Fresno State, you got to tackle. You got to be able to be physical. You got to be you're a special teams player first. It don't matter if you're a superstar guy or whatever. If you're going to be a defensive back there, you're going to be a special teamer because a lot of your physicality comes from that. They parlay that into your play at cornerback. So, yeah. I like where you're going there.
Yeah, if I could say another one too, would actually probably be one that's probably not particularly high on many people's boards. One that I just like the player who I have here is Jackson Mitchell. That's a linebacker from UConn. He's like 6'1", 225, about 30 arms. I think the one thing that'll probably knock him is his speed. He's not very fast, kind of 4.83, so he's not very fast. But he has the size. Like I said, he's a four-year starter at UConn. He finished third in UConn history in tackle. He had 438. He led the team 3 years in a row. He also had forced fumbles in 21 and 22. He has the size. He has the length. I believe he was on our Pick Six Sports Prospect Watch, and he was one of the players I tweeted about early on. If I could find the tweet, I don't know where it's at right now, but yeah, I like the player, and he's someone I think you guys should keep an eye on. I don't know if he'll go to the Cowboys. He might actually probably UDFA. I love keeping an eye on the UDFAs. So if that's someone who does go undrafted, he's someone I would love to try to pick.
I have to go through my notes because the linebacker from UConn sounds familiar, but it didn't – when you said the name, it didn't click like, oh, okay, I know who you're talking about. So I'll have to go back and look him up, and I will. So thank you. That gives me something to do when I get out of here. All right, so Cowboys, right? You got one pick for him, a guy. You could pick any guy, whatever round, a guy that you just think – is a good value that fits for the team. Who is it, and why would you have him for Dallas?
I kind of cheated here when I looked at this question, and I picked two guys, offense and defense. Okay, both of the guys. But the first one will be the defensive guy, and that is Junior Colson. I love Junior Colson. I believe that he would come in and help this team pretty much immediately. But also, I just love his story. You know, his actual birth name is what I wrote down. It was Pierre Charles. Was actually Pierre Charles. He was adopted. He was raised in Haiti. He was adopted at age 9. But he led his team in the he led Michigan in tackles the last 2 years, and he was voted the team's defensive MVP, and he won the toughest player award. There was just something about him that just resonated with me. So he was just a player I felt, truthfully, as I just was reading and just going over, he felt like a future Walter Payton Man of the Year to me. Truthfully.
I like that.
And maybe that's outlandish, but that's what he feels like to me. And so he's someone that I would love the Cowboys to try to bring in for probably in that second round. That's what I believe in Dom's mock that he had. I loved the Junior Colson pick in the second round. And I don't want to give away my mock because we haven't got there yet. The guy that'll be in my second round, which is probably giving it away, the guy I'm about to say now, my offensive guy, Trey Benson, my guy, Florida State Seminole. You know, he transferred from Oregon, of course. But he's another guy that I would love the Cowboys to get. They need a running back. But yeah, I feel like he has the running back body. You know, he's 6'2". You know, he's he was 216 at the combine, but he was 221 at his pro day. So I don't know. Combine pro day. I don't know. They're always bringing those numbers. But he has zero fumbles. The guy's pretty good with ball security. And, you know, that's looking what I'm thinking when I think back to the year with Ezekiel Elliott. You remember, you guys remember the year? He just kept fumbling.
Yeah, such that? A weird that was year.
Such a super weird year. But this guy doesn't seem to do that. So that's something that I've noted with him. But he also he's had two plays of 80-plus yards, a reception and a run. He's the first ever Florida State player to ever do that. And he's actually – he has kick return ability. And something I noted, too, when it came to him was he actually has very, very little wear and tear, truthfully. He has – of the top 10 running back, I guess 10 would be subjective probably for most people. But if you go off like maybe the first 9 or so, he has less carries. There's only Marshawn Lloyd has less carries in their career than Trey Benson. So I believe that wear and tear, or the lack of wear and tear, is pretty significant in my eyes, especially with the running back.
Yeah, I think he averaged 13.5 touches his last year at Florida State. They like that rotation. Obviously, we'll get into Benson. Mm-hmm. Please, go ahead.
They rotate a lot of Florida State. They have another running back that I really like that actually kind of reminded me more of Tony Pollard, and they tried to use him in such a way with Lawrence Tolofili. He's someone you should keep an eye on for next year, too, Florida State running back. But, yeah, they like to use – Mike Norvell loves utilizing all the running backs from 1 to 4. They all get played.
Yeah, I also love – I would like Colston. I think you'd have to use 56 on him, but mm-hmm. I'm Mr. Tradeback this year. So, obviously, if we fell to 87, I'd run to the podium. But I wouldn't mind trading back from 24, picking up an extra third, and trading back from 56. And if you did that with one of those day two picks, a Junior Colston would be a beautiful add. We'll talk about Benson later, obviously, because he's in the mock.
Well, you just completely just now spoiled it, Mike. Good job.
He said he was the second pick.
He's the guest. The guest can do no wrong, Mike.
Yes, true. That's true.
Before we get to the next question, I just want to preface it. I love these episodes. These are probably my favorite episodes to be a part of because this is the least thing I know about football is scouting, prospects, and the draft in general. So hearing y'all talk is awesome. It's much, and then hearing about talking about Junior Colston being you see him as a Walter Payton Man of the Year. No one talks about that. They just talk about his athletic ability, like what he could do. And you see that. That's such a cool poll, honestly. It's just super fun to listen to.
When you hear how he came up, it makes you believe that, like, well, he's gonna make it. He's just been through too much and he's too talented. Yeah. He has the type of mentality that you know, like Jake Ferguson at the end of last year, when we were down friggin' 30 points, that guy's like, let's go. He's that type of dude. He's the type of dude we need, more of those type of dudes.
Yep, agreed.
Well, then getting back to the questions, is this Cowboy team good enough to go BPA in the early rounds?
I believe it is. I'm going to probably note Dom's interview from last week because I went back and listened to that a second time just to give myself familiarity. But his story about CeeDee Lamb and Jerry's grandson, that was legitimate, you know, because like he said, you know, Lewis was the guy on their board he was on the board and like the positional value basically of someone that's not supposed to be there, but is. But it's like, you got to take that guy. You know, can you imagine if they did pass up on CeeDee Lamb that year? I don't really want to.
We have Chase on instead. Oh,
I remember that draft too, thinking like, Chase on's got to be the guy. I should just go with Chase on. But also, like, I think that the positions of need for the Cowboys also seem to line up with where they're going to be. Like, the depth of the positions, like linebacker or, you know, running back, corner, wide receiver, there's depth at those positions, and the picks of where we're going to pick, they just, it all kind of lines up. It's just a matter of if it's going to fall the way we need it to. And understand, like, whatever their board value is, because they might have guys higher that we don't know, like the Tyler Smith draft. Who knows how Tyler Smith, like, how high Tyler Smith, I can't remember how Tyler Smith was on their board. But everyone thought that was in, like, an overdraft. And you look the same thing with Frederick back then. Everyone was like, who are you? What are you guys doing? You know, you're drafting this guy that's like, what, a guy that's like a second, third round player, but you're taking him in the first. But some of these players pan out and it's like, oh, you got great value. So if you can manage to do stuff like that and keep that consistent, which they've done pretty well, especially with offensive line, I believe that they can afford to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I do like how the positions they need line up value wise with kind of how, like, you know, most of us don't want to get a running back in the first round, but we need a running back. But the value of the running back this year, like where the top ones land, are more where you want to take a top back. Offensive tackle. Yes. We want to get an offensive tackle so we don't have to move Tyler Smith. Well, they kind of land where you can get one in the back end of the first round, 24 to 32, and it, and they're good enough to be somebody you think could start, you know? So yeah, I agree. I like how the, how our BPA need kind of matches round by round by the value of the position as well.
Agreed.
All right. So let's talk draft overall. What position do you think has the best, look at me. I got a Brendan going there.
Let's go.
Yep.
That's me.
In the draft. Do that, which position?
I know when I looked at it, I felt like, and listening from last week, I do agree with wide receiver. I think wide receiver is a pretty deep position, but truthfully, I think cornerback and honestly, defensive back in general. Like, I know there's probably some, I've seen a few suggest that they don't like the safety class this year. I like some of the safeties. I really do, but just the defensive back class in general, but the cornerbacks, I think that's the deepest. I just feel like there's a lot of players that can give you contribution and come in and just be a player for you, especially on special teams. I believe there's a lot of special teams guys there. That's so underrated in a player. There's a lot of players that don't play special teams, and it makes it hard to roster them in the end. But I just find there to be several guys on the defensive backside, cornerbacks, that, you know, can come in and be contributors for teams.
That, I think that's the two, that's the two highest. And then in this year's draft, I'd probably add center. Now, I know center doesn't have 60 guys like receiver and corner does because there's so many. But I feel like center is a position you could get a starter in for five rounds. Like, legitimately, you have five rounds where you can get a starter. So not as many people, not the mass quantity of wide receiver or corner. But I like center, too, in the depth.
Yeah.
The answer to this question can go multiple different ways for this team. But which position is a must draft for the Cowboys?
This is one I wholeheartedly agreed with Dom from last week, running back. Running back is a need. When I went through, when I was seeing this question and looking at it, I mean, look at the room. Look at the room like today. What is it? Dowdle, Deuce, Davis, and who else did I write? Snoop Connor, whatever. What? That's, I'm not trying to be disparaging, but that's not going to cut it. And we already seen that didn't cut it last year, even with Tony Pollard in the mix. So I don't know. I don't know if they're moving. I can't remember what the news was in regards to Tyler Smith, if he's moving back to left tackle, but
that'll be draft dependent.
Draft dependent.
That'll be draft dependent. If they go center early, Smith probably moves over. if they get their tackle, Smith Price stays. But I apologize for interrupting. Please go ahead.
No, you're fine. That was part of what kind of plays into my thing here on what they're going to do to solidify that O-line for the running back. Is like, are you moving your guy already that you have to tackle, or is he staying there? And are we playing with a rookie left tackle? It's something I would like to know. But they also have options, so I never know what the Cowboys are going to do. You know, they have a seam still. They have Willetko, who I don't even know what's going on with him. That whole shoulder thing with him is wild. I can't believe they drafted somebody with a shoulder subluxation. But they also have Earl Bostic, who was someone I was pretty high on from last year at UDFA, who was a former tight end. I really like athletic offensive linemen that can get out, and he was one of those guys. So I'll be curious to see his progression and if he's someone that's in the plans. But you also can't bank on someone like Earl Bostic, a UDFA, to come in and solidify too much of anything at this point. So
yeah.
At the end, yeah, I believe it's running back. I believe you need to add someone else to that room, a young rookie running back, like the one that I've already leaked that I like in the second round and that I took in the second round with his less wear and tear. I believe he's someone that, yes, running back.
And now we get to the fun part of tonight's episode where everyone should be here for, which is mock draft time. So, Elzar, can you just lay us off? Who do we got at pick 24?
I might cry.
At pick 24. At pick 24, what I went with was tackle. And the tackle that fell to me was the number one player available. I tried to take the shot, like the screenshots of what was available to me, and then my phone gaffed. I only ended up getting the third pick and remembering what was there. But he was the number one player available, and that's Choi Fontenot, or Fautanu. He was the best player available at the time. And, he was the best player available, but if he was kind of I feel like he's kind of a need, you know, obviously tackle is a need. And, if you leave Smith at left guard, he can play your tackle. But I also believe, you know, he has that scheme versatility to where, you know, I don't know if you bring him in, he could also, he's the better, if you look at the backup offensive linemen, like the backup offensive, there's not many names really. You got Asim, you got Chuma Udoka, who I do not want that guy at tackle. He needs to go, I kind of want him to leave. But I believe Fontenot would be better than him. I believe that he would be better than Ball.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I believe he's better than Willetko. So better than most of those guys. And I believe he could challenge for that starting spot and give a chance for Tyler Smith. You can move both those guys and play both those guys on your left side with Fautanu, Smith, and then you're probably going to go with Hoffman. I believe that just solidifies your left side. And I believe his athleticism, it's solid.
He would be better than Tyler Smith at left tackle right away.
Yeah, I believe he would. I just love his movement skills. Like I mentioned with...
Sorry.
On Udoka.
Anyway. You don't know how many times on the show I've gone off on Udoka after games. You don't know how many times.
I think I might have tuned into one of those. Trust me, I was probably there with you for sure. But no, like I was saying, his athleticism, his movement skills, I liked his leadership qualities. He has dependability too. He's always like, he never really misses a game. He's always available. And after dealing with someone like Tyron Smith, who was a great player for us, love Tyron, I do. But these past few years, you know, against Cowboys, Tyron Smith, how many games are you going to miss this year? You know, so to finally get like a cornerstone, someone that's going to be in that spot and be dependable and be in that spot and be available for us and not put us constantly on like, well, what are we going to move around? What are we going to move around? Like, what did Mike McCarthy say? Musical chairs. You don't have to play musical chairs with the offensive line. I believe putting him and moving him and slotting him into that left tackle position, which I believe he can play. I believe he can also play guard. He can play up and down the line, really, for the most part. He has a lot of positional value. So he's someone I believe at 24, if he's there, you take him.
He is. I'm just going to go into I look at it. We talked about BPA knee.
Yeah, no, he
we understand why he's a player for the Cowboys. We know he's a Cowboys type. I want to go right into this because I'm going to tell you guys right now, that would be CD Lamb for me. Like, that would be CD Lamb part two. I love Troy Fats. He's called Vach. Shout out to Vach. It's Fautanu. If he fell to 24, I'll cry. He's the one when people say, I only want to trade back. I do not want to make a pick at 24. I want to trade back. The one guy that could fall that I would be like, F a trade back. I'm just taking him. That's him. Mm-hmm. Like he will be the guy that every pick I'll go, not Troy Fats, not Troy Fautanu. No Fautanu. I've called him Fats so long that I'm just trying to learn the pronunciation. I have it written out. Every pick I will be like, not him. Not him. And when he goes, I'll throw my pin. I'll do the Brian Broaddus pin throw. That is who I want. That is my number one guy that I want on Dallas in this draft. So, obviously, I'm going to love that pick. I don't know how in the world he fell. I just can't imagine.
I don't know how he did it.
But if he's there, it's CeeDee Lamb all over again, and I'm taking him.
Definitely. I hit that one pretty fast for sure. I tried to, like thinking of the players that would kind of be there around 24 and the players that are kind of like Cowboys are looking at. I tried to do an exercise where I was like, I try to get at least one of those players and see what I can get. And Barton is actually that for me. But Fats is a very close to, if not 1B. He is right there. So I'm all in on that. I just want to solidify this whole lot.
That's an off-season changer for me. Like that would take it from like I'm in a shitty mood about my team. I'm not really happy with Dallas right now. And if they ended up getting that guy at 24, I would just be flipped 100%. I would be beyond happy.
For sure. They kind of need a draft after what we just saw in that freaking playoff game. They need something to freaking give the fans some sort of hope. Because I'll be honest, I was pretty dejected, and I'm still kind of got a little bit of that dejection floating around. They don't really give you a reason to be too.
Me too.
But this time of year is definitely one that is exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, we know pick two, but let's get into it.
Yeah. The most shocking pick of the draft that no one has seen coming in this show at all. Elzar, who do we got to pick 56? And how is it not? How is it Trey Benson?
Trey Benson. He's who I went with. Trey Benson is my guy, Florida State Seminole transfer, obviously from Oregon. I picked him because, and he was a need. He was definitely a need pick. I feel like running back is the biggest need for the Cowboys. And, you know, we were like middle of the pack rushing last year. What were we, like 14, I feel like? I feel like that's right. I know we weren't that good. So
they weren't good.
I believe adding him into the room, as I said, with a room with Dowdle, Deuce, Davis, Snoop, adding him into the mix, you know, and the way Cowboys like to utilize some of the running backs I remember when Zeke was here, him catching the ball, I remember the wheel routes, the screens. He can do that. You put him out on the in space, out in the flats. You get him out there. He's able to go get the ball and just go. I like his burst. You know, like that burst and the contact balance that he has. You know, from like catching the ball to like rubbing off tackles and just going north and south. He's someone I believe that would help this room tremendously. I love his patience and the just the receiving ability is one thing I love in running back. I think that's why I loved Pollard so much. I love a back that can also catch the ball just as good as he can run the ball. And I believe that is Trey Benson to a T. And I don't want to say, like I said, I'm not saying he's Zeke. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I believe that he can come in and give us that big play ability and just be a good runner for us. And if you use him in a variety of ways, you can use him in a variety of ways. And as long as they just do that and they don't get away, because I know they took a while for them to utilize a player like Pollard. So if they can just do that, I believe Trey Benson would help this team tremendously.
He hits every part without me having to ask anything, man. He just goes into detail on everything.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I can go – that's fine. I can go right into my thing about Trey Benson. Here's – okay, first of all, I would rather hit a running back at 87. Just value-wise, I would. That's the one thing.
Yeah, now, no, that makes sense.
This player would be amazing. He's my second running back on the board. I have Brooks 1, Benson 2, and they're like this. This isn't like a giant gap here. Trey Benson is a off the bus guy. I don't know if you guys know what that means, but he's like a sculpture, like museum piece. Like he when he gets off the bus, you go, oh shit, we got to deal with this guy before you even like see any of his skill, just looking at him. Great footwork, great balance. And the best thing about him is as you talked about, is receiving his non-running things, pass protection, receiving. He was his 2023 tape looked so much better than his 2022 tape that that you could see the projection of it. Like, okay, I'm not saying he was Terrence Steele in 2022, but the jump that Terrence Steele made from his rookie season to his second year, that's the type of jump we're talking about for Benson as a pass protector and a receiver. Which I think really shot him up the board because it took him from we know this guy can run, but can he do anything else? To, this guy could be a three down back. So I love Benson. I'd rather have a running back later, but if you make me take a running back at 56, it had better be one of those two guys.
Paul's here in spirit, and he's got a question.
If you knew Benson would be there at 86, the gods told you that, the football gods, what, and you're going to wait on him, what position would you take in 56 instead of taking the running back?
I would have took a linebacker. I believe that linebacker is a position that I would love to have within our first four picks or so. If you can get me a linebacker with our first four picks, I would love that. So that would be the position I would have went there if you told me Benson would be there at 86. And hopefully it would be Colson. I can get both my guys I want on this team.
I like it. Was Colson there at 56 when you picked, and did you take Benson over him?
I don't believe Colson was there. I believe there was two linebackers that were available. I believe I remember Trevin Wallace was there, I believe, but he just felt like someone I felt was just a little too early. And yes. I can't remember who else was there. Was somebody else there? I believe there was somebody else there, but I just can't remember the name.
All right, we got two in. Let's see what the third and final.
Yeah, Elzar, who do we got to pick 87?
Pick 87. This is going to cap off an offensive first three picks. I went with wide receiver out of UCF, Javon Baker. I labeled this as a need. I felt like this was a need because you look at the wide receiver room, like just like the running back room, and it just leaves a lot to be desired. And there's so much uncertainty in there. Besides CeeDee and Cooks, you have Tolbert, Turpin, Brooks, Bryant, Durden, Cropper, Marino Cropper, and McMath. What is that? That's big yikes. I believe that Javon Baker is better than every single one of those guys.
Oh,
for sure. So you add him into this. Yeah. He's better than every single one of those guys, without a doubt. But he's an explosive playmaker. And he has 5 receptions of 50 plus yards. And I love his yak ability when you watch him play. He's got vision and balance and the ball tracking. You know, he's a great, I feel like he would replace Michael Gallup tremendously. You know, what else do I have here? He led the team last year in 23. He can play in or out. He has 72.9% of his routes outside and 27.1% inside. He had a 20.9 yard per carry average. And then he had 21 receptions of 20 plus yards last year. And that's only behind Nabers Adunze and Malik Washington. He's increased his production every year since he was at Alabama, even though he didn't get much play at Alabama, but since then he's increased his production every year. And I just love his physical mentality, especially when it comes to his blocking and then in the run game. You see him and he shows effort, he shows want to, he shows that dog mentality. You see, he has that swagger. If you listen to what ever heard Dom say when he talks about having a mix of car thieves and choir boys. Mm-hmm. Javon Baker is a car thief. You add him into the room, you know, with CD and Cooks, you know, you got CD swag, you got Cooks dog mentality, you add him. I believe those three as a core is solid, and it would just bolster this room more so and help us lead into a better future post Cooks, because Cooks isn't guaranteed to be here next year. So we have to think, I'm trying to think in the future here. It's like, okay, so what happens if you were to take Cooks out of the picture of all those players I just said? Then you just have CD. That's even more terrible. So you need to add to this room, and you need playmakers in this room. And he's that.
I'm gonna tell you, you know, I hear a lot of people comp Javon Baker to Michael Gallup. And I believe they do that because of what we turned Gallup into in Dallas. Pre-injury Gallup, obviously. We kind of turned him into, when we need a deep guy, when we need a guy to go up and get the ball in the red zone, we're going to toss it up to him. You know, he's got one-on-one, even if it's Jalen Ramsey, throw it up there, see if we can make a play. We got a guy in the end zone, he's going to go up and get the ball and tap it. Javon Baker can do that. But I don't love that comp because Gallup kind of became just that. I like the comp of, and not to this high of a level, I'm not crazy, but he is very Dez Bryant-like. He reminds me of Dez. No. Like, I can do that. He'll snatch your soul, just like Gallup. He does that. He will go up and get it, and he'll get it with his hands. Now, he does have some come into his body, but he will most of the time go up and grab it with his hands. I love that about him. He also will get a screen and make one guy eat it and then run for a 50-yard play. So, and that's something you don't get from Gallup. And you feel like he isn't there yet. And like Dez, his route running, if he ever takes the time to be precise in his route running, he has the quickness and ability to do it. Like, he will get slants and stuff. And he'll run routes. He gets sloppy sometimes. He'll have drops, you know, occasionally.
Yeah,
and if he gets the right coach, please go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with what you were saying. Yeah, he's just a little inconsistent with the, you know, he has some drops, maybe concentration drops, letting balls get into his body.
Inconsistent.
You know, stuff like that. Like, you see him and he's routing up guys, you know, he's making guys shaking guys up, but it's just being consistent with it and like tightening it up, honing it.
And getting Dallas with a guy like Lamb and Cooks, perfect.
Yes, that was my thought process here too.
So yeah, I would love, especially at that value. I feel like if you got Baker at 87, you would have really hit. You have a chance to really hit a home run for Dallas. Now, Baker could go in the second round to a different team and feel like a flop, honestly, because he's going to get more coverage than he might be ready for early if he goes to the wrong team, this and that. But if he came in, was able to go to Dallas, where a team has to go, okay, we got to put two on Lamb because that guy's just too good. So, or we got to put our number one guy there. And then we have Cook's speed over the top and his deep overs. We got to watch that. And then Fergie is a playmaker. So now Javon Baker's getting like the fourth guy looking at him. And Dak's just like, hey, on this play, just go. And if they're going to play you one-on-one in this, I'm going to give you a shot. You know, I love that fit. I don't want to overplay it like I have him higher on my board than other receivers. But for Dallas, I love him for Dallas. I love how he'd fit as a third wide receiver here.
Agreed. I agree. And like you said, like his ability, his just going up and get it, it is very Dez Bryant-like. And I know when it came to Michael Gallup, he was kind of relegated to that type of player. I don't believe that Javon Baker is just a go up and 50-50 ball jump player. He can do a lot of different things. He just needs more refining. You get him in here and you get him with CD and Cooks, he's going to get that. I truly believe that.
I agree. All right.
Even with draft talks, we need to talk about Fergie. Makes me happy.
Fergie's going to be nasty, man.
You think I don't know this? I love
Fergie. He was my favorite pick that draft.
He's going to be good.
You're speaking to the choir here, Elazar. You're speaking to the choir. Well, after all these picks, what needs does Dallas need to fill?
Well, I believe that linebacker, defensive tackle, of course, center. I believe you need another cornerback too. That's another room, just like the running back and wide receiver. I don't know what you got. Like, I mean, you got Lewis, you got Diggs, you know, but like after that, you know, you got, what are you getting from Nashon Wright anymore? Like, it's been what, 3 years now or so like that? Like, what are we getting from you? And you got Eric Scott. What are we going to get from Eric Scott? I believe adding another body into that room, it doesn't have to be so early, maybe mid to late round, a UDFA. I believe adding another body into that cornerback room is one. But I'd have to say linebacker. If you can get me a linebacker or a defensive tackle with two of the next three picks after those first three that I had, I would love that draft. Like if you said, oh, I got you a linebacker and DT or DT or DT and linebacker after my three picks, I'd be happy. Now, I'd love to know the names you got, but I would definitely be happy. One linebacker I think I like later on for that is Tyrese Knight. I know I mentioned Jaxon Mitchell. Tyrese Knight was another linebacker that I liked. I had down here. You know, he had like, it's like 9 1/4 hands. He's another, I don't know what it is about them slow linebackers. He only ran a 4.63. Now, he was someone just kind of almost like Jaxon Mitchell, those slow linebackers. I don't want to say it like that, but I was high on Ivan Pace last year. Ivan Pace Jr., that is. He was someone I was really high on. He went undrafted. And now I feel like most of the NFL community, with seeing what he came on to do for the Vikings, they're kicking themselves. They're saying, oh, like, we missed on this one. I believe that Jaxon Mitchell and Tyrese Knight probably gets drafted. But some of these guys, I feel like they've just gone underlooked or overlooked, and just deserve more love. But Tyrese Knight, he led the team in tackles in 24, or not 24, in 22. And in the Conference USA, he led in tackles and tackles for a loss. Really, he has good range and pursuit when you watch him play. He has good feel for the route recognition. He'll come forward. He's just like Tavondre, when we mentioned with Tavondre, but he gets his hands up. He got a lot of passes, defense, 17, I believe it is. I wrote down yet. But he's also a strong work ethic player. And I think in my linebacker, when I think of my linebackers having a strong work ethic, kind of like we mentioned with Junior Colson, you know, one of those guys that's ready to, you know, brings their lunch pail, you know. I believe he is that. And just like Bautanu Fats, he's dependable. He's available. He hasn't missed any games. He hasn't missed a game in 4 years for UTEP. I don't know if I mentioned that yet. Tyrese Knight, linebacker, UTEP. He hasn't missed a game in 4 years. So I love that. And after dealing, like I mentioned, with Tyron and his, you know, in and out there here towards later of his career. I think of guys like Sean Lee. Love Sean Lee, one of my favorite Dallas Cowboys of all time. I have his jersey. Leighton Van Der Esch, Jalen Smith. We don't need another linebacker that is just injury prone or made of glass. That's why I'm out on Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson is a great player. I look at him, you watch him, he has everything that you would love, everything. But I can't do it for this team. Not again. I will not do it for this team again. So when I look at linebackers and I see, hey, you ain't missing games, I'm interested.
You got any other positions, Mike?
No, that sounds about right. Linebacker, center, it's depth. They need, you know, they have three guys mm-hmm. that could play linebacker, but they have nobody behind them if somebody injured. They have three corners, nobody behind them, somebody's injured. They have two starting DTs. You know, I mean, you call Mazi a starter. He was a first-round pick. You got to see what he's got. But yeah. What do they have behind those guys? Like, they don't have another DT, really. And center, you know, TJ Bass been taking snaps there, but you just can't think like, oh, we're good. Brock Hoffman, go ahead. Like, you know,
you got to be in competition. You got to get a center.
Yeah.
Well, Elzar, what was your approach in this draft knowing you were drafting for the Cowboys?
My approach was to find for the first three rounds is just to find starters or contributors. I believe the three guys that I got are, and I wanted to just bolster the offense. I think that was my main thing. And when it comes to that, and in the run game, you know, you got Fats, you got your cornerstone left tackle, you get your running back, and you got your wide receiver who is a very physical blocker and shows the effort in it. So I'm thinking, you know, you're just blocking wise in that aspect of just for the running back and just bolstering the offense in the running game for your quarterback and just all trickle down effect from good blocking to good run game to a good passing game to points to touchdowns. That was what my approach was to with those first three picks in this offense, was just bolstering the offense and solidifying the run game and the block.
I think we all know the answer to this question, but did the Cowboys get better after this draft, after these first three picks?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, I believe they did. Like I said, though, if you told me that after those first three picks that you also got me a linebacker and a defensive tackle, I'd be happy. I'd be perfect. I'd be content. I believe that's like a trade back, though. Like Mike said, like Dom's draft from last week. I love those three picks. This draft that I did this week, love the three picks. I need a fourth round pick, though. So the trade back is the best option, and that is my preference, truthfully, because I want my fourth round pick and I want more players. Cowboys have put themselves in a position where they have too many needs but not enough picks. So they need to find their way to acquire those picks to fill as many of those needs as they have. Because like you just said, they're thin in rooms and they need to solidify them.
This transition's perfect into the next question is what changes I would make to this draft. And I think I'm not trading back from Troy Fautanu. I'm not. I'm picking him. So my trade back would be 56. I would say trade back from 56, pick up a fourth rounder, then still get Benson likely at pick 62, 65, somewhere in there. I think he would be in that range still. So that would be my one change. I'm not really a running back in the second round guy, so I would trade back there, get an extra fourth, but I'm okay taking him, especially after getting an extra pick.
What's your grade for the draft, Mike?
All right. So I wanted to say B+ because he got a running back in the second round and I was going to But I can't not put an A when you get when you got Troy Fats, dude. I cannot. I don't really care what you got after that. If you get me that guy, drafts really are about nailing your first pick, because everyone else after that's going to be, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, value, who's going to go where. If you gave me Troy Fats tonight, now you still did a running back in the second round, so you ain't getting no A play. You're going to get A minus because. Is what it is. So I love Baker. I love Troy Fats. I think the values on those are very, very high. I'm not going to give you a high value on the running back because it just is what that position is to me. You know, I'll take whatever SMA or whatever his name is in the fourth round or one of those guys, Jalen Wright in the third, something like that. I don't know. But A minus, I think, is fair.
In my head, I still passed. So,
oh yeah, passed high, get you into a good college. Passed.
Yes, sir.
If y'all could just send Mike so many mock drafts with all of just running backs.
I had somebody once send me one with like Jalen Brooks was the first at 24, and then Benson was at 56, and I just stopped. I was like, you can go to hell.
Yeah, that's wild. No, that's wild.
Well, seriously, though, without Paul.
Hey, he was here in spirit. He was here in the chat.
He was here in the chat. I don't even think he had a problem. He was just lazy. You know what it is? Let's be honest, guys. I can't even joke like Paul's lazy. He's such like harder worker than any of us. Like us two combined doesn't do the stuff Paul does.
Paul does so much, man.
I was gonna do a joke of like, oh, Paul's just lazy and wanting to sit on his ass and watch a show, but no, dude. I can't even make that joke. It would be such BS. Damn it.
We can make a joke. We can make jokes here, but there is no Paul slander here.
No Paul slandering. No, it's not allowed.
It's not possible.
Can we? He was having an issue with his son was being a brat. Can we slander Paul's son a little bit? I mean,
Paul's in the chat. That's Paul's call. We should let the parent decide on that one instead of.
I guess if we have a bad draft, I'm slandering Paul's son. All right, y'all. Let's do the outros before I get us in trouble and get myself fired.
Mike goes for random episodes and just trying to get us canceled. But before we get out of here, Elazar, tell us where we can find you on Twitter or X. And also, what are you working on?
You can find me on Twitter, X, whatever you're calling it, your own preference. You can find me at OhMyWord88. And what I've been working on, I've just been working on solidifying my rankings. I'm not sure if we're going to eventually do a big board with Pick Six, but I believe that's something I recall that was in the works. So that just that I did an all Pat Cat team. I've been doing that for like two. This is the second year in a row. I basically take, you know, 11 man offense on offense and defense, and I put like a position of my Pat Cats. On that, I can cite who I have on my offense and defense. If you just give me a second, my offensive Pat Cat team from quarterback to, you know, offensive tackle. My quarterback Pat Cat was Michael Pratt. My running back Pat Cat was Rasheen Ali. Javon Baker was one of my wide receivers. Jacob Cowing, nice. Jaquan Jackson. Ben Sinnott was my Pat Cat tight end. And my Pet Cat offensive line was Walter Rouse at left tackle, Mason McCormick at left guard, Graham Barton at center, Christian Haynes at right guard, and Tyrese Fuaga at right tackle. And for my defensive Pet Cat team was, for my defensive line, it got Javon Solomon. That's a Troy Edge. Defensive tackle, Evan Anderson. Defensive tackle, Devere Levelston, and then I had Edge Braylon Trice, and then my linebackers, I have the one I mentioned, both linebackers I mentioned, Tyrese Knight and Jackson Mitchell, and I also have Tyron Hopper He's someone I was really high on. He was on our Pick Six Sports Prospect Watch. And my corners are Jarius Monroe and Nehemiah Pritchett, who are two corners I believe are being very overlooked and deserve more love. I highly recommend checking them out. And then my slept-on player, Evan Williams, and then Kenny Logan round out my safeties. Kenny Logan is another player that I feel like is slept on. There's a few safeties on the back end in the later rounds that I feel are slept on and deserve more love. And Kenny Logan is.
I'm just glad you got my Fresno State guy in there.
For sure. I have love for Fresno State. They're not the real FSU, but I have love for Fresno State.
We're not the real FSU or the real Bulldogs. We know Georgia and Florida State are, we're not stupid over here.
No, I got you. I'm just poking some fun.
The chat is distracting me. Paul Prescott and Jordan Stock are just doing some weird shit, man. Well, before we get out of here, Mike, where can we find you on Twitter, aka X?
Letter C, letter D, Piglet, guys. Nice and easy.
Y'all can find me at Brennan_Smith26. Seriously, if y'all aren't following Elazar, and like, come on, y'all saw this show, you'll see how in detail he goes. You seriously need to give him a follow. Like, I enjoyed this episode tremendously.
That was awesome.
I appreciate you guys.
Give me Troy Fats.
Yeah, give me Troy Fats for sure, for sure. Definitely give me Troy Fats. But again, I don't go on live very much often. It's been like maybe like 2 years or so since I've gone on live. I appreciate you guys very much for having me on. Thank you. Thank you so much for bringing me into your space and allow me to come on here and talk football with you guys. I very much appreciate it.
Thanks, Elazar, man.
It was a blast. Yeah.
It was awesome. Now I will go pee.
I will see you next time.
Go pee, brother. I'm probably going to do the same. Everybody be good. Have a safe night.
Bye, guys.